Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today, we're talking about...
Superman!
Oh, yes, the day has come.
Oh, yes.
Ah, my day has come. All right, we're talking about Superman today, yes, which Sean Connery was not in. But that's okay.
But
Marlon Brando
with
was.
With his Rolex.
With his Rolex, yeah. Which we will be getting to at a future time.
You know, we should mention that Thanksgiving is coming up.
We should mention
here in the United States of America. And we just thought that, you know, what better way to celebrate America on such an American holiday than to talk about the possibly the most American of all the superheroes, barring maybe Captain America.
It isn't the name. Okay. But I can connect this. Watch this. Get your jazz hands ready, folks.
All right,
this is it.
They're ready.
I don't know why you need jazz hands. Okay. So we celebrate America.
America.
All my stars and garters. We're celebrating America.
Yes.
Because... the Pilgrims, the Puritans, whatever you want. Okay, you know where I'm going with this. See the eye roll. Okay, so they come for freedom. Mm. Okay, they come for religious freedom, technically, but
freedom nonetheless.
They come, they settle, and they have to start a new life on a strange land where they don't know anybody. Despite thinking they are alone, but they are not. And what is that? Superman, the ultimate immigrant.
It's true.
Coming to a new land, not of the nation, but becoming the ultimate part of that nation.
That is true.
The ultimate symbol of that nation. Everybody knows. Now you can argue citizen of the world.
Yep,
like everybody, like you go anywhere in the world, you put a Superman ass up, people know what that is.
It's the second most recognizable symbol in the world next to the cross.
That's nuts. And, I mean, you could talk about Jesus and Superman allegories at the wazoo.
Oh, yeah.
But we won't today.
We won't today. Not today.
But yeah, totally there. Could talk about Captain America for sure. But Superman with that immigrant analogy, I mean,
yeah,
it starts right there.
Yeah, and we're talking about Superman the movie today, just to be clear.
Specifically.
We'll get into the Christopher Reeve movie in just a second. I do want to tie Thanksgiving, though, to Superman. I have a story.
Go for it.
Very, very briefly. When I was a wee child, actually, I think this actually happened before I was even born, just before I was, maybe a year before I was born. One of the local TV stations in New York, where I grew up, did an all-day Superman, the George Reeves Adventures of Superman TV series marathon on Thanksgiving Day, following the Thanksgiving Day parade. I had a videotape recording of this marathon. It's about 6 hours long. Mm. Had the entire thing on one tape.
Wow, 6 hours.
Yeah.
On one tape?
On one tape, yeah. Well, yeah, 6 hour speed. And I would watch that thing to death. And that was actually one of my first, probably my first introduction to Superman, period.
Mm.
I think I watched that, and then the Fleischer cartoons were my second. But so that was my first foray.
It was reversed for me, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But my first exposure to Superman was George Reeves.
Yep.
On that tape, which was Thanksgiving, all like they kept talking about Thanksgiving in between. It was Jack Larson, who played Jimmy Olsen, was the host of the marathon and would host all the bits in between during commercial breaks and everything. So, that was my first foray into Superman, a lifelong love that lasts, you know, 20 some odd years later, over 20 years later, I'm still my number one hero.
Yep. And there was a Superman float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade for a long time.
Yeah.
There was a balloon for a long time of Superman.
Yep,
that was huge.
Right. That's right.
And so, boom, connections. Yeah. They're
there
made.
It is.
Legitimate.
So, after George Reeves, 30 years or 20 some odd years later, we have, it's time for a new Superman incarnation. There hasn't there hasn't been a live action incarnation of Superman, I think, except for It's a Bird, It's a Plane, Superman,
which we're not counting right now.
Nope. But there was a TV version of it.
Yeah.
But barring that, there was no live action version of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Warner Brothers, you know, shopped the rights to the film. They shopped it around to different directors, different writers, different producers. Mario Puzo was brought on to write the screenplay.
His magnum opus.
Yeah.
Screenplay. And not saying many film, ways. But no, yeah, the original film was Superman 1 and Superman 2 together.
Together.
Yeah. And that was a 300-page screenplay.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And it was revised afterwards. He kind of wrote one of the early drafts, which was not changed too much. It was definitely the basis for Superman 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But his work definitely can't go unaccredited. Right.
Robert Benton, mm-hmm, and
his partner. Yeah.
David Newman? Yeah, David Newman.
Yep. And Leslie Newman.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Tom Mankiewicz, who was
uncredited.
Uncredited, but
Tom Mankiewicz. Important.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah.
Was sort of Richard Donner's right-hand man on this film.
Yep.
It was produced by Alexander Salkind and Ilya Salkind. The Salkinds were not the most scrupulous of people.
Nope.
They were pretty well-known movie producers, old-school producers, in the sense that, oh, yeah, we'll put up the money, we'll put up the, all this stuff to get the movie made, and we expect a return on the investment. Very much like show business, like Broadway producers, mm-hmm, in that sense. But pretty dishonest in the fact that they were trying to squeeze two films out of one. So they were going they had one script that was super, super long. They knew it was too long to be one movie, and they were going to try and pay the actors for one film, and then end up saying, like, oh, look at this, we have enough material for two films, let's just split it into two. So that was, they were kind of very dishonest. Kind of ironic when you talk about truth, justice, and the American way.
Right, yeah. Like, what's that movie about?
Yeah. Yeah. But I actually...
bunch of Lex Luthers.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
I really do enjoy this film a lot. It's not my favorite incarnation of the Man of Steel, contrary to many people's opinion. Mm. I am a huge Superman fan, but...
Like your first Bond...
Yeah.
First Superman.
Yeah.
You know, this is a lot. This was first for a lot. Not my favorite either, though I do, I always give credit for Chris Reeve. That man delivered lines that nobody else could make work.
Absolutely.
Like, brilliant delivery. And you don't, I mean, like, it's a Superman movie, so how often is the word brilliant in Superman?
Yeah.
Like, movie, like, how much of those put together? But... like some, like that you have a man, just picture this, you have a man sitting on a rooftop talking to a woman. The man is wearing a tight blue costume with a red cape and shiny red boots, and he's like, I'm here to fight for truth, justice, and the American way,
and my underwear's on the outside.
When my underwear's on the outside, and you're sitting there as an adult, and you're like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
I believe you. I do believe you. That's hard, because that's a corny line. It's a it is a brilliantly designed costume in its own right. It is a corny costume.
Oh yeah,
it's old circus man, strong man costume. Underwear on the outside, and he really makes it work. A lot of credit to Chris Reeve. A lot of credit to Richard Donner. Like, they just knew how to do it, so you're okay with the things that are said.
Yeah,
plain and simple.
Yeah. The Christopher Reeve, I mean, amazing Juilliard trained actor, and for his breakout role, and just, you know, he was forever known.
Yeah, a little typecast.
He was a little typecast. A lot typecast. His injury later in life didn't really help with that. But
no, a lot of things. Worst things to be typecast as, but still stinks for an actor trying to work.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Exactly. But you know, he was always tied to it, and he was happy to be tied to that franchise.
He really owned it. He was as he should be, particularly the first two films. The second two, not so much.
Yeah, not as strong.
We'll talk about it other times, I'm sure. But, okay, this is kind of weird, but I have this theory. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so talking about that rooftop scene. Okay.
Yes.
So what is the most famous line of that rooftop scene?
I like pink very much, Lois.
Yes, that's exactly the favorite line.
Yeah.
Oh, like, what can't you? You can't see through lead, but can you see through this? Like, you know, like, I'm wearing pink underwear, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you like pink? I like pink very much, Lois. Really? Like, what? Again, brilliant delivery.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my theory. Lois Lane, kind of abrasive.
Sure.
Okay. Superman. Okay, Lois Lane is a mean girl. On Wednesdays, Mean Girls wear pink.
Therefore,
Superman visitor on Wednesday.
All right.
Yeah.
Valid.
The valid.
I buy
that
it.
That is my theory.
I am sold.
That is like
valid.
And Superman likes pink.
There you go.
Because it's Wednesday. And on Wednesday, Lois wears pink. Because she's a mean girl.
Sold.
Okay.
Sold. Airtight. Airtight.
There's no, you can't get around that. No, that's.
Very good. Very. Okay. You proud of yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay. So proud of myself for that. I can't even tell you. I wrote it down. It's in my phone. It's going to be there.
That's what you thought.
That's
of.
What
Got
I thought
it.
Of.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah. When I was before, like, we recording. Am, before we recorded, I was like, I have a great idea, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's what
That's
came
it.
To me.
Got it. Let's talk about all the pieces that make this a great film. So you've okay. got great acting, right?
Yeah.
Gene Hackman, Christopher Reeve, outstanding acting right there. Those two names alone.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando, don't even have to talk about him, or Glenn Ford. Just the two big two big.
This is the biggest story when God talked to Moses.
Right. Oh yeah, Jackie Cooper. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got all these great actors. You've got outstanding music from John Williams, which we spoke about in another episode. But
yes, we did.
But absolutely worth mentioning again.
Yes, we did. Sorry.
Yeah. And we said, I think we said in that episode, that this has what every Superman theme needs to have, which is. You can say the name
you
Superman.
You can say the name Superman.
The syllables fit.
Fit. And there are other Superman themes that fit this. The animated series from the 90s fit this. The Fleischer cartoons fit this.
Yes.
Lois and Clark fit this. Hans Zimmer's Man of Steel did not. I tried really
hard.
It's a nice score.
Have you heard the mashup of the Zimmer and the Williams theme together?
No, I haven't. We will listen to that.
Yes, we will.
That's going. Oh,
yeah.
Yes,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a slow burn because the Zimmer one is a slow burn, but it's cool.
Okay.
Anyway, So you got great music from John Williams. You got the great acting. You've got Richard Donner, who just had a passion for this story and wanted to tell this story.
Right.
You got Mario freaking Puzo writing the story.
The guy at the Godfather.
The freaking
the freaking Godfather.
He left the gun on Krypton and exploded, but he took the cannoli.
He took the cannoli to New York, to Metropolis.
To Metropolis.
Yeah. You're bordering on racial stereotype,
but I'm Italian, so it's okay.
All right.
So yeah, no, you've got all these great elements building up together. They pioneered some really outstanding visual effects to make this movie happen.
You'll believe a man can fly.
You will. That was the tagline, and gosh darn it, we all did, and we still do.
Sometimes it's like. It's still really good.
There are some things they do in this film that are still done in movies today.
That scene, okay.
That were invented by this film.
That's right. Okay. The scene in which his first night out as Superman, the robbers Spider-Maning his way up the building.
Yes.
And he's like, Superman's like standing on the side looking down at him. When the guy starts to fall and he goes after him, but he does this like... catch thing and you see it from the inside, you know what I'm talking about, where he like catches them, they flip down.
Yep.
Still awesome.
Still great.
Still awesome. You like seen in modern movies to this day. It's wire work. It's wire and camera work. But it's just so cool.
It's a good argument for the merit of practical effects.
Practical effects, you can't beat them.
It's a
movie made in 1978 and that scene still works.
Yep. Many scenes in this movie do.
Yeah.
Many do. I would argue that the helicopter scene,
apart
from the physics of it.
Yep.
There are many shots in that scene that still look pretty fairly realistic.
Yeah,
look absolutely. Pretty realistic. They did a really, really marvelous job with the effects. They toyed with the idea of kind of going back to what George Reeves did, which was he refused to fly on wires, so he would just lay on this board that they would just sort of project onto, and you couldn't really, it was like inside his costume, and if you look carefully you could see his chest looks really, really flat, but you know, whatever. They were like looking at that, they were looking at wires, they were looking at, you know, just they constructed, I don't know if you've seen this on the DVD extras, they constructed a radio controlled airplane that looked like Superman.
that they were going to use
for
distant shots of him just flying through the sky.
That's amazing.
But it looks like a toy plane flying, even though it looks like a person.
So they didn't use it. They never used it. But yeah. But
there's all this test footage of all these different things they were trying to do to make him fly, and they finally just said, you know what? Let's do wires, but not like Peter Pan wires. They figured out a way to do it better with the harness that's kind of under the
which is something uniform. They're still using today.
Still.
I mean, of course they've improved it, but
of course,
and on all that stuff. But I mean, like, I remember watching extras for Superman Returns, in which they did a lot of like underwater footage, and stuff like that. Which, I mean, it's not possible in 76, 77 when they were filming this. I mean, even the legacy that some of the film. Some of the things that they kept rolling with.
Yeah.
Like crystal Arctic Krypton.
The crystals, yeah.
Yeah, that's something that had bled its way into the comics, into Smallville. And now only in the new 52 has it pulled itself away from.
Yeah.
Like, and in Man of Steel, because they were like, okay, it's been 30 years. Let's try something different.
Yeah.
But that's what it was for a long time, just because of that film, which is, again, really smart. When do you ever come across another sci-fi fantasy film that's like, the crystals are the computer?
Right. Yeah, it was just like, it put you in this mindset of like, this is a sci-fi movie. And I think in a way that kind of legitimizes the whole franchise, and a lot of it, when you look at it as a science fiction story, you know, there are plenty of science fiction novels, right? That are taken
one or two,
but there's plenty. But I mean, there are popular science fiction novels that are taken as legitimate literature, that are respected pieces of literature.
Ender's Game,
you know, or even
Fahrenheit 451,
There are many, and they're respected literature. Superheroes, for some reason, comic books have a stigma of being like, oh, those are just kids' stories.
That's
or kids' books. Those are not even books. They're just, you know, just
slap those
picture books.
People's hands.
I know, especially because they're really not for kids anymore. In a lot of cases, I wouldn't let my kids read half the stuff I read. But
no,
Parent
goggles on.
Yeah, exactly. But
no.
When you look at Superman as a science fiction story, which it really is.
It's classic.
It's an alien. It's very pulp science fiction magazine of the 30s. And it redefined science fiction into what we now know as a superhero genre.
Right.
But it was the first of its kind. And it really just redefined this whole thing. And so this film, when you look at it as a science fiction film, with the Krypton stuff that, that like you said, trickled down into...
Or if you're Marlon Brando. Krypton.
It's Krypton. But yeah, I know. That is indicative of what an influential franchise this is, character this is. When you look at it through the lens of science fiction, which is what it was meant to be originally, you really look at it, I think, in a different light, and you think of it as a much more quote-unquote legitimate type of story and less childish kind of story. I think this film is... the model on which many, many superhero films have been based ever since 1978.
Absolutely. Lack of a better word, it's earnest. You believe it. Like I said before, you believe the lines that are coming out of his mouth. Like, you're like, okay, I got you. If you're in this world, you believe it. And so not every superhero film certainly is done earnestly, but when they are... You believe it. And Superman was really the first one to take that by the bolt. Now, not to say that it's not comedic. I mean, certainly has its funny lines. Actually, one of my favorite scenes in the movie, it actually might be my favorite scene, which is a really odd one. Bear with me. Lex Luthor, Otis, and Miss Tessmacher are in Lex Luthor's library, which is also great villain lair, by the way. They're in the library, and he's like, and they're just like talking. He's like, you know why the number 200 is so important to me and you? It's your weight and my IQ. Now think, like, you know, like that. And it's like, I wonder what they're wearing at Addis Ababa these days. And like, are we going to Addis Ababa, Mr. Luthor? Like,
Otisburg.
Just, it's a little small place. Just, Mr. Spock has got her own, you know. Otisburg, you know. It's funny. It's good.
It's funny.
Not my favorite portrayal of Lex Luthor either.
No,
but I love Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
It's great.
Gene Hackman's a great actor.
They tricked him to shave his head. Did you know that? Yeah, they tricked. I don't know how they tricked him, but they did. And that's impressive because he's bald for approximately 10 seconds in the whole movie. So he shaved his whole head for 10 seconds, which is awesome.
I think it's really interesting. I heard Tom Mankiewicz talking about the film.
Mm.
And he like took the film and kind of spruced it, the script, and spruced it up a little bit.
Well, uncredited that's writers, why he didn't, what they do.
Yeah. He kind of sweetened it a little bit. And he added some very important story elements, like beats to the film. Not story elements, but beats. He really implemented the idea that Krypton was this like almost Shakespearean type of, you know, old. Of
they're walking around with their family and their crests
on their chest.
And their robes and planet Krypton. We all have Rolexes. I couldn't be bothered to take it off to film.
But the dialogue is all very almost semi Shakespearean, quasi Shakespearean. Yeah.
They're an advanced culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and advanced and Shakespearean means advanced.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously.
Right. But then, you know, on the Kent farm, it's this like down home and you know,
you were put here for a reason.
Yeah. You have this feeling of, even if you've never grown up on a farm, which I have not and you have not.
Nope.
You have this Americana.
So, in a second.
It tugs at you and pulls at you, and you, this is America, which is funny because it's Canada.
Yes,
they shot it in Alberta, Canada.
Yes, they did. But you look at it, and I've seen other movies with other farms and anything like that, but there's something about that Kent farm, and you're like, America.
Yeah.
And in all the times that you've seen the Kent farm in Superman things, okay, so let's say live action things. Superman, the original Superman quadrilogy.
Sure.
Superman Returns, yep. Lois and Clark, Smallville. And Man of Steel, and Smallville. I'm going to say Smallville and the first Superman film are, and maybe the Kent farm in Lois and Clark, but you know, it's more the inside of the house than anything else. But I'm going to say Smallville and the first Superman film, I feel it's like the most America, both filmed in Canada.
True.
Yeah, which is just funny to me. But they knew how to make it work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, yeah. They nailed, and I think in part because Smallville based their farm, you know, not entirely, but they looked for something similar from the film.
A lot of Smallville did. I mean, the fortress was crystal and blah blah blah. Yes. It followed that whole thing.
Yes,
very good. What's your favorite scene in the film?
Favorite scene in the film is "Can you read my mind?" No, I'm kidding. I hate that scene. Actually, when she starts saying the words,
it's so weird. Song. I think she was originally supposed to sing it.
Yeah, I know. Well, there is a song version of
it. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it's a nice song.
Yeah, with lyrics or not. Yeah. But it really is an odd. It almost takes you out of it for a second where you're like, why are you rhyming, Lois?
You can fly like a bird in the sky. Oh my God, are you five?
Yeah, I know. I know, I know, I know. Although I do like that scene with him taking her to fly. Yeah. And it is very... I do like that those moments, but you're right. That's weird when she starts rhyming. But no. Okay. Favorite scene. I want to know.
Favorite scene, I think is actually, it's tough. I'm actually having a hard time with this. I think my favorite scene is when he's going through all the traps that Luthor has set for him.
That is an awesome scene.
Yeah.
And not in the original.
Not in the original cut. Yeah. It's in the extended
DVD which is cut. So cool. Yeah, it's such a great scene.
But he walks through this tunnel and there's like all these different flames shooting at him,
the bullets,
machine guns come out from the walls and shoot at him. It's like a subway tunnel.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not from the original film. I think it's the helicopter scene.
Yeah.
I think it's the helicopter scene because that's
very iconic scene.
First, it's iconic. It's I don't care for Margot Kidder as Lois. I really don't.
Either. She's not my favorite. I don't think she's terrible. I think she's a good actress, but I didn't meet her. She was a nice lady.
I don't think she's terrible.
She's my first autograph of a celebrity ever.
Oh, that's cool.
Actually, yeah.
I don't think she's terrible. And I think she's a very nice lady, but I don't think she was a good Lois Lane. That's just my opinion. I don't think she's a terrible actress. I just think she's not a good Lois Lane. A good fit for Lois Lane, in my opinion.
If you were to choose live-action Lois Lane, who's your favorite? Dana Delaney doesn't count because she has only voice.
I was
going to
say Dana Delaney would be
because she's the best. Yeah.
And Terry Hatcher I wouldn't even pick, even though I really do like her portrayal. It's a different portrayal.
I do like Terry Hatcher's Lois Lane.
Erica Durance, then.
Really?
Erica Durance. I really love Noelle Neal from the 50s, but it's very much of the time. It wouldn't work in any other time period.
I agree.
I wouldn't even see she's a particularly outstanding actress.
Yep.
It just worked because of the show that she was given and the material she was given. I think Erica Durance.
Yeah.
Smallville.
No, I would agree. Mostly, I think it took her maybe a couple of seasons to get there, but I think she had this very nice balance of humor and upfrontness, and she was her own woman. She could hold her own in a fight. You know, there was a lot going for her in those moments.
And by the time, you know, when the show ramped up, and by the time she got to the end of the show, she was Lois Lane that we all knew and loved.
Yeah.
But anyway, that Smallville will be a separate episode, I think, and I think maybe even a couple episodes, because I could talk about that show
for hours. I know you could. We have talked about it for hours.
We have, yeah.
Listened to you for hours.
But this film, I think, is just a great prototype superhero film. And the formula is that the origin story formula that we see in many of the Marvel movies that have been so successful the last several years.
Although Marvel's secret thing said no more origin stories now, which will be interesting to see. We'll find out. Yeah. But anyway.
Iron Man is very, very similar in terms of the beats that it hits.
Three acts. Hero by the end of the first act.
Yeah.
That's generally... That's generally it.
Yep.
Yeah, which is smart. Batman Begins follows the same thing. It's even with the wandering and the... Yes. I mean, that's part of the origin story, but still, it's the same beats all the way through. Which is why I have no problem with that. I mean, it's the movie did really well financially and critically, and just through general audience. Superman was huge, and some people still watch that movie and they're like, that's Superman, that's totally it, that's it right there. Chris Reeve, I want to go back to him to finish up talking about this.
Sure.
We haven't talked about his Clark Kent at all.
Okay. I think his performance is stellar as Clark Kent. However, just as a general rule, I don't care for the bumbling Clark Kent. I actually really like the confident reporter Clark Kent that you see in Lois and Clark and you see in The Adventures of Superman. I like that sort of, like, he's a very capable reporter. He's not clumsy. He's not bumbling. He's not going out of his overcompensating to hide.
Mild-mannered does not mean shy.
Yes. So that's just a personal preference. But within the confines of this film, outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
I agree with you. Although there are a lot of things that his bumbling Clark does that I just think are like cutest is not the right word. But it's, I like every time he pushes up his glasses. He's well, Lois, you know,
endearing.
I just like
endearing.
He's endearing. He's like, it'd be very hard not to like him, I think. And I mean, like, he might not be your best friend. Maybe he feels like maybe he's like a little bit of an outsider, and like all that's very much on purpose. They're very two distinct characters.
Yes.
I think confident Clark, it's easier to see the connection between the man in the glasses, the man not in the glasses.
Yes.
And I think Chris Reeve did a real good job at the physicality of a bumbling Clark. Yes. He's hunched over, he's this, he's that, all those things. But I just, there's something about bumbling Clark where you're like, you wouldn't make it as a reporter, man.
There is a piece of that, and that's one of the things that I, that's one of the reasons why I prefer the confident, kind of Clark. But
I agree.
But that's a different kind of portrayal.
I agree.
And given what they've given us in this film, I think he did an excellent job, to the point where this is how everyone sees Clark Kent now. This is, everyone thinks of, Clark Kent has always been this bumbling reporter, who's clumsy.
True.
To contrast the confidence that he gives off of Superman, people just think of it that way now.
Yeah.
He's always been this way, quote-unquote, always been this way. But it's because they grew up watching this portrayal,
It
left such an impact on now a couple of generations.
Yeah.
That's how many people just think of the Clark Kent character.
Agreed. I don't know. There's something about it that I can't put my finger on why, like, I know why, like, realistically, it's like, it doesn't work for me the same way. But again, like, in the confines of the film, and I'm having a hard time, like, forming my thought here, so bear with me. But, yeah, I really can't. I think that sometimes, okay, now I got it. He can be confident in those films. You do see it in some places where he does this weird mix. I mean, I'm going to go into Superman 2 territory for a second here, but there are moments where, like, in Superman 2, he loses his powers, and, you know, or he gives them up, and then he becomes this mesh of Superman and Clark Kent, where he's mild-mannered, he's not totally super confident and all those things, but you definitely get the idea that for him, Superman is him, Clark Kent is the mask.
The persona.
That is the persona, which he really... Chris Reeve does a really good job at conveying, even when there's no real scene with this or him even expressing it, how lonely this man is. Like, how lonely is it that everybody you interact with and their so-called friends and everybody like that, that's your fake persona because you have to sacrifice all of that just to be this guy, to be this inspiration, but that's just really you. That's really lonely existence, incredibly. And you don't really see scenes of that in the film.
True.
But you get it just by watching it.
You know where you do see it? You see it in the later films. When he goes back to the farm and you see him being himself on the farm.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, you see it then. You see the loneliness. You see the... You see all of that.
Yeah.
I think we could spend an entire episode potentially talking about the dichotomy between the... So is Clark Kent the real guy and Superman as a persona?
Well, for a lot of topics like this, but I agree.
It's definitely something we could talk about for a long time.
Yeah, but not today, Zerg.
Not today.
Okay. All right. So, anyway, any final thought?
I freaking love Superman. I love this movie. Watch it. If you haven't recently watched it, rewatch it and be amazed.
Okay. I do have one story that I want to share.
Please do.
I'm going to out myself for a second on my occupation, which I haven't talked about yet. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a teacher. And I got into an argument, not really an argument, but a heated debate with one of my students about Superman. I haven't told you this story yet. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay. Great. This is totally new for you. Okay. Great. So, first day of school. Okay. And I'm getting to know the homeroom thing, blah, blah, blah. And one kid, one of her things, like her lie was like, I hate the Avengers. And I was like, that's a lie. Nobody hates the Avengers.
You were doing two truths and a lie.
Yeah, we were doing two truths and a lie. Yeah. Okay. And the kid's lie was like, and I hate the Avengers. And I was like, lies. Nobody hates the Avengers. Unless you're talking about the 1998 movie with Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman. Everyone hates that. She didn't know what I was talking about, but she was like, yeah, you're right. That's
she was born after that movie, wasn't she?
Yeah, right.
Oh god.
Yeah, she was. So anyway, and so she was like, yeah, no, you're right. I love the Avengers. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I love the Avengers and something. And then I don't remember exactly how we got there, but the conversation then spiraled into, her love of Superman.
Nice.
And right. No. And I was like, I like Superman. I'm a bigger Batman fan. She was like, well, you're wrong because Superman is better. And I was like, oh, excuse him, what? and so I was like, I got a Batman shirt to prove that I like Batman more. And I got a box that's like Batman themed in my closet, which for the long story. And she was like, well, you should get rid of it because it's not a Superman box. And I was like, oh, I'll show you. I'm going to wear – there was a barbecue that night. I was like, I'll show you. I'm going to wear the Batman t-shirt to the barbecue tonight. And she's like, well, I'm going to wear a Superman one. And I was like, oh, it's on.
It's on.
And like, I love Superman. He's like, I love Superman. It's not like – it's not a thing for me. But I was dying on the inside. This is – like an hour into the first day of school.
Wow.
And this kid was like, you're wrong. Superman is better. And I was like, Frank would like this kid so much. And I was like, I got to tell Frank. And then I didn't tell you until right now.
Well, it was worth the wait.
Yeah, it was like a long time for me to tell you this. But anyway, that's my wrap-up story.
That is a fantastic story.
I thought so.
Good note to end on.
Yeah, I thought so. And so until next time, everybody. Frank, would you like to say a few words?
I would. I want to thank everyone who has left us iTunes reviews. We really appreciate those. And
we like reviews.
Please keep them coming. The more you review us, the more positive buzz that's out there.
We like positive buzz.
We do. And the more of it we get, the better it is for the show and more people will find out about it. So thank you for that.
We like thank yous.
We like thank yous also. And if you'd like to thank us, don't thank us. We're not worthy of thanks. But if you'd like to write to us, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com or @beerwithgeeks on Twitter are the places to get in contact with us. So please do. Happy to read your emails on the show if you are so inclined. Just let us know.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
With that said, Timothy, I think...
My whole name. Yes,
your
Francis.
Your full name.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that slams the lid on it for today.
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe so.
And what's your favorite color?
Blue.
No, it's pink.
Make it pink.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.